either reserve. You're listening to leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazina istafa. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولما دخلوا من حيث أمرهم أبوهم ما كان يغني عنهم من الله من شيء إلا حاجة في نفس يعقوب قضاها وإنه لذو علم لما علمناه ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم حضرت یوسف علیہ الصلات والسلام had said to the brothers that the next time when you come to Egypt you must also bring your brother Binyamin. And the brothers then managed to convince the father Yaqub علیہ الصلات والسلام, and he gave permission. And he also said to them in our last session last week, we covered a very important topic, the evil eye, which is nazar, and how nazar is affected. That was explained. And so the Quran says, as a father, he said to his sons, that make sure when you enter into Egypt, don't enter all together from one entrance, but rather split yourselves in groups and enter from the different gates of Egypt. And this was to protect them. These were the sons of a great Nabi, very handsome, young, powerful individuals, foreign to Egypt. And as a precautionary measure, Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam said, this is what you have to do. The Quran says, وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَهُمْ أَبُوهُمْ. When the sons entered in Egypt in the manner that the father had told them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, nothing benefited them against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except for a need within Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam, which he accomplished. Wa innahu ladhu ilmin, and verily Yaqub alayhi salam was a possessor of knowledge that we had blessed him with, and many people don't know that. In this ayat-e-kareema, some important masails, rulings have been explained. Just to make it easy for the brothers that are here, one is taqdeer. Taqdeer means your destiny, your fate. That is your taqdeer. So whatever Allah has decreed for you, whatever is written for you, that is your destiny. And with destiny, another word that is in use is tadbir. Tadbir means to be pragmatic, to take actions that will save you from harm and that will benefit you. So you do things in accordance to the situation. That is being pragmatic. Tadbir ke saath kaam lena. And so here in this ayat-e-kareema, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us that this great Nabi, and which is also the quality of a believer, some people will only follow fate and destiny, and they are too lazy to be pragmatic, to be practical in life. So for an example, you might find some people, they will eat, they will drink, whatever they want, very carefree attitude. Whatever they want to do, they will do. And it does not bother them if they lose their health. And they say that whatever is written for me is written for me. Whatever is written for me is written for me. Some people want to drive very, very fast. And you say to them that be very careful, you know, don't break the law. And they say, no. And I'm an expert driver, I have to drive fast. Whatever is written is written. And then you get some people who are in the gym all the time, maintaining themselves, looking after themselves, a good diet, everything. But they turn their faces away from taqdeer. They feel that I am in total control of my body. I am in total control of my body. Nothing will happen to me. Everything is in my hands. And slightly a diversion from taqdeer. Taqdeer is not in their mind. And so in this ayat-i kareema, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us, look at Ya'qub alayhi salam, a great Nabi of Allah, what is he telling his sons? We see the combination of taqdeer and tadbir. That he wants to protect the children from the evil eye, so he is saying to them, be careful, don't expose yourself. Don't expose the qualities that you have. In another words, don't show off. Some people, when they show off, of course, what happens? That the evil eye can touch you. So don't be a sitting duck for somebody to glance an evil eye at you. And at the same time, he knew, because he was a Nabi, that whatever Allah has decreed for you, that will happen. There is no doubt that will happen. We see in the story of Musa alayhi salam, Pharaoh had killed thousands and thousands of babies in Egypt, fearing that one child that will be born will take away his kingdom from him. So he was on a mission, and he would kill all the babies, the firstborn. But he could not harm Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. He took all the actions that he wanted by killing people. But the decree of Allah was that Musa alayhi salam was to be saved. And so whatever happens, happens only by the wish of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ultimately, it is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, as human beings, we have to make sure that we are pragmatic, practical, we understand. We have to do things that will not harm us. We have to do things that will benefit us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the intelligence. And by the aqal, a person also needs to decide what is right and what is wrong. And greater than your intelligence, your aqal, is what we call revelation. What is it? Revelation. So your dictates are along with your aqal, but the greatest aqal is in the form of revelation. The greatest aqal is in the form of revelation, that you follow the revelation. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you can't eat pork, you can't use your aqal, because revelation is saying you can't, that's full stop. If Allah is saying that you cannot do shirk, don't associate partnership to me, I am one, ahad, nobody is like me, there is nothing like me. And so now you cannot do shirk in any form. Why? Because that is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we see a very, very beautiful example of Yaqub alayhi salam. And as believers, we are taught that if you want to go for Hajj, you can't just say, oh, I want to go for Hajj. If Allah wants to take me, He will take me. If Allah wants to take me, He will. It doesn't happen that way. But if you want to go for Hajj, start making preparations. See if you've got the funds, see if you've got the money. And slowly, mashallah, make arrangements. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow you to take on that journey. And so this is one very important mas'ala that has been explained, that as Muslims, we follow the line of tadbir, but completely accept taqdeer. That whatever happens will happen by the will of Allah. A minor operation. The doctor said, worry not, we do these operations, 10 times in a day. It's minor now. Now things like this, very easy. So within 2-3 hours, this young man, you will see him back. That which was a minor operation proved to be fatal and he died. So that is the taqdeer, the fate. Whatever you did, you could do, but then it is the taqdeer. It is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. Otherwise, if it was left as a choice to human beings, nobody would want to depart from this dunya. Nobody would want any kind of difficulty to come to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept everything under His control. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَىٰ يُوسُفُ آوى إليه أخاه قال إني أنا أخوك فلا تبتئس بما كانوا يعملون. And so this time, remember, Binyamin was with them. Binyamin was with them. And so all the brothers of Yaqub alayhi salam and another brother, Binyamin, who is the real brother to Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. The Quran says, they entered Egypt and now they came in front of Yusuf alayhi salam. Obviously, Yusuf alayhi salam recognized the brothers, and this time he also saw his young brother Binyamin that was there. The Quran says, وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَىٰ يُوسُفْ آوَىٰ إِلَيْهِ أَخَاهُ. He granted his brother an abode near to him. He granted his brother an abode near to him. So he gave him refuge. He took his brother Binyamin when the opportunity was given to him. He called Binyamin and took Binyamin on one side. And all of the brothers were also there. And then he said, فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, which we will inshallah look into the translation later on. But just to explain, how did Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam open up to his brother Binyamin to tell him the relationship that is there between him and the brothers? It is said that when Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam saw the brothers, he said to the guards that they are my guests and they will also be staying with me in the royal quarters. So the guest house that was there, that is where they will be staying. So he said to all of the brothers that obviously you are here now in Egypt after traveling for many days. You won't be going straight away, so you will stay with me and we will also make all the arrangements of food for you. And so now the rooms that were given to the brothers was such that it was a 2-bedroom apartment, 2-bedroom apartment. So in one room there was 2 beds. So all the brothers got into the rooms and one was left. Binyamin, the younger brother, was left. Remember that the brothers did not like Binyamin, and Binyamin was from the same father but from a different mother. And the rest of the brothers were from one mother and father, except for Binyamin and Yusuf. And so they paired along properly and they were friends, and they would, Yaqub alayhi salam would not actually allow Binyamin to play with them because of the incident that happened with Yusuf alayhi salam. And so they were also angry. So now all the rooms were taken. In this one room, it was only two beds, but one Binyamin had to take on that room. And so Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam at that time took on this opportunity. And he said to them, he said to Binyamin, that come to me, I want to speak to you. So all of the brothers were in the room, and so Binyamin came. So Yusuf alayhi salam looked at Binyamin and said to him, that what is your name? So he said, my name is Binyamin. And Yusuf alayhi salam said, what is the name of your mother? So he said, my mother's name is Rahil. And he said, your father's name? He said, Yaqub. Then Yusuf alayhi salam said, why is it that I see you to be very sad? You're not so happy. So he said that I am remembering my brother Yusuf. I am remembering my brother Yusuf. That if my brother Yusuf was here, then it would be better for me. I would share this room with my brother also. So now this is the time Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, for the first time after decades, is opening up, divulging this secret to his brother Binyamin. Inni ana akhuk. Look, Binyamin, quietly, make sure you don't divulge this to no one. It is not the right time. But understand, I am Yusuf. I am your brother. And Binyamin started to cry. You know, and he was overwhelmed by this news given to him. Can you imagine after so many years for him to meet his brother? And he hugged his brother Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. And he said to him, I am your brother now. I am your brother now. In fact, in one narration it comes that he had said to Binyamin that you are remembering Yusuf, your brother. Can I be your brother? So he said, that would be amazing if you become my brother. That is good news. But you are not the son of Yaqub alayhi salam. You are not the son of, and to be the son of a Nabi, that is great honor. You are not the son of Yaqub, and you are not the son of Rahil. It is at that time also he said, no, I am the son of Yaqub, and I am also the son of Rahil. And then he said to his brother, that I have a plan. I have a plan. And so I am planning to keep you with me here in Egypt and not to allow you to go back with your brothers to Canaan. But we can't even open up, we can't divulge this secret to the brothers. So give me time and I will think of a plan, a strategy. And if you see me do something that might be against you, don't be offended, I will not harm you. I will not harm you. But you do whatever I tell you to do. You do whatever I tell you to do. So Binyamin agreed to that. So all of the brothers now were in their rooms. And then the next day, the Quran says, فَلَمَّا جَهَّزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ جَعَلَ السِّقَايَةَ فِي رَحْلِ أَخِيهِ. And when they had prepared, their provisions, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said to the guards that the glass of water, the glass that he would use to drink water, that water glass, which was considered to be very, very expensive, it was very, very expensive, put that in the baggage of Binyamin. Put that in the baggage of Binyamin. Rahli akhihi means in the saddlebag of his brother Binyamin. Put that inside. And so this is what they did. In the night when everybody was sleeping, obviously for each person they were to take back with them a camel load of food, provisions, grains back to Canaan. And so they knew that this is the bag of Binyamin, and they opened his saddle bag and they put that siqaya from which Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam would drink water. And this, in one narration it comes that it was made from emeralds. In one narration it is mentioned that it was pure gold. So it was very, very expensive. It was an expensive item, and they placed it in the bag of Binyamin. Now the Quran says, ثُمَّ أَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّن. Then the announcer announced, أَيَّتُهَا الْعِيرُ, O people of the caravan, إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ, you are thieves, you are thieves. Now, when we look at the tafsir of the Quran, they are, of course, the Quran goes straight into and advances in explaining what had happened, but the commentary of the Quran is also something that we need to understand. How is it that when this was planted by Yusuf alayhi salam, the caller at that time called out and said to them that you people are thieves? Why should he call them thieves when actually they did not steal? And this was something that was planned by the king himself, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. The scholars have mentioned the reason behind this is that Yusuf alayhi salam had given the brothers the guest house, which was his guest house, and he would visit that frequently. And in the guest house there was this water glass, this special glass that was there from which he would drink, this container, a cup. And in the morning, when the one who comes to look after the house, the caretaker, when he came and he looked at everything, he noted that there is something missing here. That very expensive container from which Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam would drink water and it would remain very, very cool, that is missing, the siqaya. So he knew that nobody has been living in this house here at all except for the brothers. So the brothers are the thieves. He did not know that they are the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. So immediately as they were leaving, he said to them, Ayyatuhal Eer, O people of the caravan. These were foreign people, Kanani people that came. Innakum lasariqoon. You people are thieves. And you have stolen something. And so all of the brothers then just stopped. Qalu. And they spoke out. وَأَقْبَلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ, and they were facing them, as in the guards and everybody that was there. And they said, مَاذَا تَفْقِدُونَ, what is it that you are missing, that you call us thieves? And they said, قَالُوا نَفْقِدُوا سُوَاعَ الْمَلِكِ, a very expensive bowl that belongs to our king, that is missing. وَلِمَنْ جَاءَ بِهِ حِمْلُ بَعِيرٍ, and very quickly they also said, anyone who gives us information of this will be rewarded by another camel load of grains. A gift will be given to them. وَأَنَا بِهِ زَعِيمٍ, and I am the guarantor of that. So if you know any information that who has taken this which belongs to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, give us information. Now the brothers, obviously they would panic. And they said, قَالُوا تَلَّهِ, these were the sons of a Nabi. So they took the qasam in the name of Allah. And they said, in the name of Allah, لَقَدْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا جِئْنَا لِنُفْسِدَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. You know that we have not come here to spread mischief. We have not come here to spread mischief. We are not here for any kind of corruption or any difficulty for the people of Egypt. وَمَا كُنَّا سَارِقِينَ. And we are most certainly not thieves. We have not stolen nothing. Nothing whatsoever. So now the guards were clever. They said, قَالُوا فَمَا جَزَاؤُهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. Okay? What is the recompense, the penalty, if you people are lying? What is the penalty if you are found lying, if you are wrong in what you say? So these were the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, sons of a Nabi who followed the Sharia of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So they said the recompense, the penalty is the one who has stolen, he is your recompense. He is the one that you take. He is responsible. كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الظَّالِمِينَ. And this is how we punish our wrongdoers. Now here we see that there was a clash of laws. Clash of laws. Ya'qub alayhi salam's children would follow the Ibrahimic Sharia. The Ibrahimi Sharia. They were the children of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So they followed the Sharia of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. And in Egypt at that time, there was no Muslims. Yusuf alayhi salam has just taken on this position. He came out from prison. And now slowly he's starting his dawah mission. So it was a country that had no Muslims at that time, besides this great Nabi who is in power now, a man who was a king. Now in Egyptian law, if somebody was caught stealing, the punishment was that he would have to pay double the amount of the item that has been stolen. Double the amount. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam knew that the brothers haven't got that money to pay double the amount of this item, which is very, very expensive. And in the Sharia of Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, if you were caught stealing, the punishment was that that person would be taken as a prisoner for 1 year and he would have to serve that individual. He would have to serve that individual. And so the guards asked the brothers that what is your opinion if you people are proven wrong? So the only law they knew is the law of the father. So they themselves confessed and they said, worry not, none of us are thieves here. And if you find anything, then you keep him. Then as the law is that you will keep him and he will serve you for another year. And so subhanallah, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam's plan now is working. Because if they find this in the baggage of Binyamin, that means Binyamin has to stay in the khidmat of Yusuf alayhi salam for how long? 1 year. And they can't do nothing about that. Now, just a few masail for us to learn in these few ayats of the Quran that we have covered. The scholars have mentioned that for a person to devise a plan, a strategy, that might even mean that you are in a way tricking someone, but in order to obtain that which is your legal right, but in order to obtain that which is your legal right, that is lawful in the Hanafi fiqh. That is lawful in the Hanafi fiqh. Why? Because of what Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam did here. Obviously, the group of people, the brothers, were not thieves. But he had his legal right, and what they did to him, they threw him in the well and they sold him in the slave market, and the harm that came to him. And now he wants to make sure that his brother is in his safe custody, so no harm can come to him. And then slowly to speak to his father and for the family to reunite. For the family to reunite. Again, one very important mas'ala that we should not forget. Generally, the ulama have mentioned that if a child becomes very wild and does not respect the rules of the house, you can punish him, of course, but one should not disown the children. One should not disown the children. Why? Yaqub alayhi salatu wa salam kept his children all the time, despite the fact what they did with Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. And so now this plan is devised. So when it is your legal rights that something belongs to you and it has been taken away from you unlawfully. What is this today? It's a bit loose today. Then it is perfectly fine. And there are many examples of this in Sharia. So for an example, during the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam, there was this tyrant king. And what he would do is that he would take women, any woman that was beautiful, aliyadhu billah, he would take the ladies, even if the husband was there. Unless she came with the brother. If she came with the brother, for some reason, he would pardon that woman and she would pass by. And so on the road, this tyrant king had stopped Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Hazrat Sarah was with Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam. And so the king said to him that, who is she? Obviously she was the wife. But Ibrahim alayhi salam was an intelligent man. Takdir and what? Tadbir. Takdir and tadbir. So he looked at this man who is a tyrant, a zalim, and he said that she is my sister. This is my sister. This does not nullify your nikah. This will not break your nikah. Why? Because Ibrahim alayhi salam made an intention that Islamically we are all related. We are the children of Adam alayhi salatu was salam. So she is my sister in Islam. Islamic sister. So the tyrant, the zalim Badshah said, okay, you may go. So this was again a plan, a strategy. And Ibrahim alayhi salam was very, very intelligent. You know, there was this young man that came to me, and he was very clever, very qualified. Many times he came to me and he said to me, Mauli Sahab, you know, I have been going for an interview and I am fully qualified, but for some reason I am always rejected. I am always rejected. Now he came to me so many times. I said, Subhanallah, this person is so clever and he's going for an interview all the time. Why is he not given the job so many times? So he came to me and said, Mauli Sahab, koi bada zabardast taweez do. Big taweez. I said, oh, Subhanallah. So I said to him, I said, you know, can I ask you one thing? How do you go when you go to that interview room and, you know, what happens? So because I say, this is what they asked me. I said, okay, how do you dress up? What is it? You know, how do you? Alhamdulillah, sunnah libas. What do you say to me? Alhamdulillah, sunnah libas. I said, oh, mashallah. I said, so you wear your ghab, mashallah, your kurta. Hey, of course, alhamdulillah. He's been in Jamaat for a few days too. So he wore topi and everything. I said, mashallah, sunnah libas. I go. I said, okay, next time when you have an interview, come to me. So he came to me. I said to him, go to Primark. These are my words. Go to Primark and buy a three-piece suit, because Primark is cheap. You see our lot all the time shopping there. There's nothing wrong there. So go to Primark and buy a three-piece suit. He said, Mawla Sahib, la hawla wa la quwwata illa. You want me to wear a suit? I says, yes. Beautiful, get a tie and a suit and a trousers and nice shoes and be a gentleman. I says, I am telling you, don't worry, buy, just go. And he did that. He went to the interview, he came back, he says, oh, Mawla Sahib, I got my job. I go, bas, mashallah. I said, now you know what you do, you've got the job, now you befriend people there, show them who you are, you're a good Muslim, alhamdulillah, get to know people slowly on a Friday after a few months, wear your jubba, so people know you when you're wearing a jubba, slowly, you know, get to know the people, and this is how you do tadbir. This is how you do tadbir. This is tadbir, sir. He said, oh, jazakallah. So sometimes the right strategy is very, very important in Islam. So we've got to focus in the right way. Sometimes a fatwa is given to an individual, and that fatwa is not for the whole community. It's not there for the whole community. Hazrat Abu Huraira, you looking, any, no issues with time, eh? Are you okay, guys? Yeah. Are you guys looking this way? Bhai, if you want to come and sit for the bayan, most welcome. If you don't want to come, don't come. But don't look at the time. Don't look at the time. Allahu Akbar, we are listening to the Quran. What is it? The Quran. We watch films for 1 hour, 2 hours. We are on the internet surfing all night. We don't realize. People are working night shift. We don't get tired. But this is shaitan. When it comes to Quran, we want to yawn. We get tired. We are wondering what is happening. Because we are not used to this environment. Allah's Nabi said, the sign of a believer, when he comes to the masjid, he finds so much comfort like fish in the ocean. Who said that? As-samaku fil ma. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this. That a believer, a Muslim in the house of Allah, he feels comfortable like fish in the ocean. A hypocrite, a munafiq, when he comes to the masjid, he feels trapped like a bird that is trapped in a cage. Ke yaar ye pinjra kab khule aur main bahir bhag. Allah save us. Allahu Akbar Kabira. And so, we see that these are very, very important a'mal that are mentioned in the Quran for us to understand in our lives that these things can actually happen. It is not one rule for everybody. There is one also, another example. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ka'b ibn Ashraf, who would insult Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, a poet, and who violated the truce that the Muslims made with the Jewish community and sided at that time with Abu Sufyan. And he was instrumental in robbing the caravan. And we won't go into that. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this man was plotting to assassinate Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah's Nabi said that, who will avenge Ka'b ibn Ashraf? And Muhammad ibn Maslama, he stood up and he says, I will, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he said, it's very difficult for me to get into the area of where Ka'b ibn Ashraf lives. He lives in his own castle. And for me to knock on the door and to meet him and to talk to him, I will have to befriend him. And then he took permission from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, O Nabi of Allah, I might have to say things that are disparaging to your honor. That is disparaging to your honor. Because your shan is great, I might not respect you in the way I have to talk to him in order to convince him that I am on your side. So would that be okay? Do you give me permission? And Allah's Nabi gave him permission. So sometimes you can do this. Allah's Nabi, whenever he went for jihad, he would never tell people the proper location where he was going. so that people would not divulge this information to the, it would not get out to anyone else. Was a great leader. He would not tell people. But if they would ask him, he would do tawriya. And tawriya means that he would name a city that he would have to pass by from. But it's not your final destination. So that somehow the enemies could not find out also where the final destination is. That was the strategy of Nabi-e Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for an example, if somebody was traveling from Manchester to London, and somebody says, okay, where are you going? Then you have to pass by Birmingham, for an example. If you're going from Manchester to London, you might pass by Birmingham. So he would say, I'm going to Birmingham. But the final destination was where? London. So this was actually called Tawriya. And so khair, these are examples and permission that is given. فَبَدَأَ بِيَوْعِيَتِهِمْ قَبْلَ وِعَايَ خِي. Now the guard said, okay, let us start looking into your baggages. And they started to open the baggages of the brothers. And so nothing was found. Lo behold, then they opened the bag of Binyamin and they found this bowl of the king in the baggage of Binyamin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Insha'Allah ta'ala, we will continue from here in our next session. Brothers, do come. It is the Quran, the kalam of Allah. There is so much that we learn, alhamdulillah. And inshallah, it will be of benefit for us in this world and also in the hereafter. Allah give us all the tawfiq. I see quite a few people, mashallah. I just remembered that there is a nikah that we have to perform. So inshallah, we will just do the nikah very, very quickly.